Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart, another wonderful day that the Lord has made, another wonderful day that the Lord is mightily moving by His Spirit. He loves us so much, and He works with us to help others. Everything that God, see, when Jesus saved us, He gave us the power to become the sons of God in full representation. And I don't say that lightly. Full representation. As far as we'll grow, if we're willing to grow, we can represent Him better and better, and more people will live. And He can introduce greater knowledge to the world through us. We're vessel. He called me a vessel of honor when He called me to the ministry. He said, "Behold, you are my child. I have chosen you, and you shall be a vessel of honor." Now, a vessel is something you pour something into to pour something out of. In other words, a distributor. To be able to introduce things to this realm. And that's what preachers are. When we have everything we need to do a good job. If you're a pastor, you mentor people and help them get to a point where they can mentor people. That's what the best pastors do. It's not about the size. It's about the faithfulness that you exhibit. The faithfulness that you have. If you're growing as a person, the Holy Spirit within, then you can do mighty works because of the Holy Spirit upon your life. And see, there's no limit to the anointing. And you're not limited. You may feel limited. We go in this realm, in this world, people measure things by what they see and accomplish. But when you're in God's presence, nothing's impossible. if a pastor that's faithful with a few people can do just as much good as a pastor that's faithful with many. And that's not just because the few people may be more dedicated and sincere. It doesn't matter. When people are doing what God said do, God can introduce things that's necessary on earth so that it can be as it is in heaven. Whether He works with many or few. Remember Jonathan's battle? He and his Saul's son, Jonathan, he said, the Lord can deliver by many or few. And they killed 20 men and a half an acre, just two men. And these were warriors that they were fighting. But they killed 20 men. Jonathan would wound them and his servant would finish them off. Jonathan will wound one and the servant will finish him off. What needs to happen? The needs of the small church is just as important to be fulfilled as the needs of a larger church. But the when God introduces something, see, people, a church don't just stop with the congregation. The congregation, every member of the congregation, all the way down to the children's church, they relay the pastor's message. The most faithful people that message is stored in their heart, and they meet people along the lines of their life. There was a girl that worked at Napa who died, and at her funeral, so many people came. This girl knew over 300 people. By herself, and that was just the ones that came to the funeral, and many of them got saved at the funeral. Now, this is where I'm going with this. People can reach people where they go, who they know, and your life can be just as effective as anybody else's with the Holy Spirit as your ally. He can guide you to be a blessing to the right people who will, and just think, a portion of those people will become ministers, and sometimes because of faithfulness, your love and kindness and your everyday generosity can persuade people to do what God would want them to do. And then it goes on and on. that's why we have to be so faithful. You can't, if you're just looking at right here, right now, you're not going to see much. You're going to have to look according to scripture. Now, when the Lord had me to study chapters, I started seeing processes of things. You know, some of the prophets, they didn't prophesy often as much as others. But yet here we still have their writings. They may have written small books, but they were powerful words that encouraged people. And they may have, you know, one prophet, he prophesied to the king. He didn't go he was supposed to go out the city another way. And another prophet lied to him and told him to come to his house and eat. And then the bear killed him. Well, guess what? His ministry was effective. Very effective. Josiah found his bones. Who is this man? That's the prophet who warned the king. And then who is this guy? This is the prophet that lied to him. He said, dig up their bones. When Jeremiah fulfilled the, when Josiah fulfilled the prophecy that he would dig up the bones of all those wicked people because they were not honorable people and they were buried. He dug their bones up and laid it before heaven because they worshiped the stars in the heavens. He dug their nasty bones up and laid it on the field. But he left those two buried. Now, the statement reached billions of people. See, never underestimate what God can do in your life. And he trained me this way. He taught me this way. I'm not saying these things lightly. God loves his people and he works with us. Now, every child of God has a great measure of capability, whether they utilize it or not. I want to see people utilize what God has given them. Now, the best and only way to get that done, not only study the scripture, but go in God's presence. Ask questions, knock, seek, and ask, and follow God, follow through. Fulfill what God is telling you to do. That's more important than anything else you could possibly do, what God tell you to do. Make sure it happens. And if you're not married, pray that you will marry somebody that wants to do the same kind of thing. Because getting people to live beyond their vision is impossible. No man can live beyond his vision unless he get in God's presence and gain new vision. This is why. If you take the average Joe and he wins the lottery and he's not used to such a great overwhelming measure of finances, he has the power to do whatever is on his mind right then. And if he hasn't been trained in finances, he's going to lose it. He's going to spend money, give money, and do whatever he'll do. He'll probably get himself killed. Some people will get themselves killed because they don't reason. They're looking at, I'm just going to have fun right now, and they can kill them. If you look at what happens to people who win it, some of them end up in debt because they can't see themselves living that way. They can't. They'll do whatever they're gonna do, but they don't have the skill, and sometimes the wisdom to categorize that money and make it do what it should do. And most people that I know don't follow God. They don't present it to God and say, Lord, what can I do with my life? I'm talking, you know, lottery winnings. That's money you didn't deserve. So there's no real blessing on it in the first place. You got something you really didn't earn. But it can be used wisely. It can start businesses. It can do things. But when you earn it, you know, that's part of you. That money is part of somebody else that was foolish enough to waste it on gambling. But it came to you. Now, you know, but the point is not the money and how it came. It's what people will do. If you can't see yourself with greater things, you're going to you're going to mess that money up until your life is just like it is, because that's where your vision is. If your vision don't elevate in faith, if your vision don't go up, then the money is going to go down. Many people ask the Lord for $1 million when they find out if they're abiding in them. If Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask what you will. The first thing they do, Lord, bless me with $1 million or more money than they can imagine. You know, they if he did that, he know what they do to themselves. God is not some kind of Santa Claus or genie or something. He's your father. He loves you. So he said, this is the most perfect financial plan ever. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Now, I pray for things too that I needed and desired. But when I consider the word, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When I ask the Lord for something, this is why I'm saying all of this. When I ask the Lord for something, he prepared vision in me towards what I was believing for, so that when I get, you know, when I was a young man, I wanted a charger. I wanted a car. You know, I prayed for a car. But you can't just get a car. You got to get a job. You got to get the car. You got to pay insurance. You got to buy gas. Then there's upkeep. The Lord thinks of everything. We think right now, right here, bless me with this car. If I had the car, I couldn't take care of it. But if whatever you attain in this life, if you do it God's way, he's going to develop the vision in you and the love. And this is a very important element. He's going to prepare you so that you won't be conceited in pride. And you're going to get whatever it is you pray. You put it in motion. Heaven's already in operation. But you got to draw near to the Lord first, because God loves you. Then you'll be able to see yourself do greater and greater things. And you'll grow into it. You'll grow into that lifestyle that you want to live. When people do that, they end up with more. They're like Solomon. They they can have money and know what to do with it. Success on every level is no different. If you want the church to work, if you want it to be a blessing to God, if you want to hear God say, well done, well, start doing what he said and paying attention and growing and learning. There are elements that he want to put in place first, so that when the greater thing, whatever you imagine that's far out of reach right now, when it comes, it'll be a blessing and not a curse. And also, sometimes the Lord like to do things another way. Don't limit God and don't put him in a box. Sometimes he want to take a small congregation and do a great work. You just... And people don't understand, and they want it to go this way, and they're focused on what they want more than being focused on what God wants. One day, you're just going to have to trust God more than you trust yourself. And I say that lovingly, because that's how I know for a fact it's going to work good that way. And you got to trust God's vision more and better than you trust the one that you came up with. Some people... their vision and that what they like and what they came up with, they're like that dog that's got a hot steak right off the grill. They won't let it go, but it's burning their tongue. Well, when God does things, if you follow through with him, you're going to be so happy that you did it God's way. Now, yesterday the Lord had me sharing some things, and the message that he had me talking about yesterday was sowing in peace. And see, when in peace, when we sow in peace, when we live, I was talking about how there's different factions of the body of Christ. And one may not have the same doctrine principles as another. And they look down upon each other sometimes. And they think the worst of each other without knowing each other. And see, when people break through in one way, you know, they break through, they still think like they think until they finish breaking through. And when people break through and have successes, that doesn't mean that they are masters of it. And sometimes people get to the point where, I know this, I'm on a higher run of the ladder, and I don't have to listen to people that seem to be on a lower run of the ladder. But see, they're missing out because God is still working on it. Anybody that will yield to Him, God is working in their life. And they can learn an aspect of God that you'll never learn in the circle you're in. And vice versa. And the Lord, I say that lovingly, but I don't say it lightly. Because I've been in places where, you know, in the course of my life, I've been to the denominational churches where, and they teach people how to love. They teach the foundational thing. They teach what they teach. Sometimes you'll hear more about what Jesus taught at a denominational church than Pentecostal churches. The focus is different. Now, everybody will teach what Jesus say, but they'll teach it in a foundational way. And I noticed the best, and what I would say the most, the wisest pastors that I know that were Pentecostals, they were Baptists or Methodists first. Because they had a hunger for God and wanted more. Then they found out about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and they received it. And they broke through all the, see, when people mentor you, you have a lot of fond memories of that person. You see them with great respect. And you don't want to go, it's an influence not to go against a person that you love so much. But when you find in the scripture that the Lord said it this way, and it's not quite the way that they said it, you go with God. But that's really no disrespect. But sometimes people feel that it is. They feel like they're betraying that pastor if they continue forward. But you're really not. I mean, my dad was a Methodist pastor himself. But when I found out about the Holy Spirit, I wanted to know about it. I wanted a relationship with the Lord. And I thought that Pentecostal people were just like Mom Powell. And some of them were. But many were not. And Mom Powell had a relationship. She put you in the mind of like, she was just a loving woman, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. I almost said a prophet, like Deborah, but she was not. She had her own personality in the Holy Ghost. A woman that just loved God. And the things that she talked about in her conversations with the Lord was amazing. And I wanted that. So I said, well, I want the Holy Ghost. And, you know, when people's mindset don't change overnight. And when people are stuck to their, you know, they don't come out of their traditions easy. They have to see more light. They have to see the Lord working in you. That can take decades for people to change their position. If they've been in it a long time. My dad was preaching before I was born. But I learned a lot from him. He inspired me to want to get married. He inspired me to want to serve God. I seen that man love God, work. He worked the kind of job that you want to come home and go to sleep when you finish. And he would get so dirty he had to shower at work. He showered before he came home. Then he'd feed the birds. The birds would line up on the they line up on the power lines waiting on him to come home. They knew what time he was coming. Because he was consistent. And he just hummed a song everywhere he went. This is the most content man I ever seen in my life. And Then he drive to Utah, Alabama, and preach when he before he retired a minute. When he retired, he was preaching at a church in town. But he was actually retired. Anyway, but he never complained, ever. He never said he didn't feel like going. He went till he couldn't go no more. And then he used to like to watch the Catholic Church on TV. Now, and others, he'd watch it. But anyway, the thing is, you can learn something from all of God's people. God is working with them where they will allow him to. Now, the church has to take the high road more than it used to. Taking the high road is the best road. Now, yesterday, the Lord had me in Proverbs 18. I got to revisit it. Now, I'm going to start right here, verse 10. But look, I just saw something in verse 9. And since I'm here, I'll look at it. He that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Now, that verse 9 says a lot. I really wasn't going to use it in this teaching, but I saw that I had to go there. Verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. The righteous run into it and is safe. There are different people are learning of God wherever they, you know, whoever got to them first, that's who set the pattern of the way that they understand things. Whoever wore them to Christ, the kind of culture they came from, the kind of people they were around, you know, but God works with it. And it's valuable to the whole body of Christ. If you take anybody that, you know, if you could hold a conversation with them and find out the things that the challenges that came up in their life and the way that they mastered it, it's off the charts. Now, my dad was a Methodist pastor, but people don't know what he went through. They don't know that his parents got murdered when he was 5 and his mother was pregnant with twins. And they don't know that the Lord called him to preach as a teenager. His granddaddy read the word to him. They didn't know that. He had a base of the word. He joined World War II to run from God. But over in China, he almost drowned in water. And he started preaching after the Lord helped him out of that water. And he enjoyed it. Now that's the thing about his ministry. He enjoyed ministry. He enjoyed it. I said, Dad, what church did you like pastoring the most? And he told me it was either Altoona or Fort Payne. He told me the name of the church. I forgot the name of the church. He said that was. Then he said this. He said, because that was my first love. Now, that's the way he described the church that he first pastored. He called it his first love. I said, wow, this man loved what he did. And then he forgave the man that killed his parents when he got out of jail. The man that he had vowed to kill. He was going to kill him. But after he met the Lord, he forgave him. My sister saw it happen. They were out there playing. When the man came, they saw Daddy go out there and talk to him and shook his hand and forgave him. Now, he didn't know about the baptism of the Holy Ghost like we do. But yet, he had more maturity than many. Don't underestimate what God can do with his people. And it's not wise to talk it down on God's people. You don't know their background and their challenges. And the people, you know, it's important. And people should believe on the Holy Ghost. That's what we need the most. After salvation, we need the guidance. We really need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So, I thank God for all of his people. And all of his people, if we pay more attention, we can receive the whole counsel of God more so than if we allow division to keep us from one another. never mock another man's testimony. It's important. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. But what if you don't know everything? Well, God know how to work with people that don't know everything. Sometimes that's the glorious part of the story. You know, Kenneth Hagin taught healing one way. Henry Grueber taught it another way. And they both got healed. Kenneth Hagin taught it by faith. Henry Grueber said, I refuse to let cancer take me out after Jesus died for me and was bruised for me. And he got healed. Some students laid hands on him and he got healed. He stood. That man knew how to stand. All right. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall in his own conceit. Rich man's wealth is his strong city, as an high wall in his own conceit. We have to learn to master every form of success. If you can see your success as a grace, God gave it to you. God blessed you to attain it. He helped you do it. You won't be conceited when it happens. And then you have to master success. You have to use it as a tool. If your success is God's tool, you're not in pride. If your success is God's tool, you're not in pride. If your success is your tool, you need to get out of pride. So whatever we do and accomplish, when we invite God to master it on our behalf, in other words, Lord, what are we doing? What do you want me to do? I will do all this in your heart. Now, you're going to do some things that's off the charts because now you involve God. You gave him the full okay to do whatever he wants to with you and your finances, you and your family, you and your future. You put your future in God's hands. The more I learn to do that, the more I like life. There's no pressure at all. I ask the Lord to teach me how to live in his presence. And these are the kind of things that I'm learning. I'm still learning things from that prayer back in 1983 or 4 that I had. All right, God is working. He's always working. Now, verse 12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. People, what I just said, if your success is in God's hand, you're not in pride. If your success is God's tool, you're not in pride. If your success is your tool, you need to get out of pride. God can do more with what you own than what you can. He can do more with your life than what you can. Pride looks within. God never leaves any joy out of a person's life, when they yield it to him.